Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear fellow redeemed, you know, I have often now realized after 3 weeks of being the vicar here that I get distracted very easily. Usually I get distracted when I should be doing something important, like working on a sermon or researching information about the sermon text. We humans are often easily distracted creatures. It is not without the realm of possibility here that today I may be preaching and you might get distracted. Maybe you could be distracted by something that I say or do that's distracting. Maybe the dog will bark outside and that will distract you and take your attention off of me for the moment. We humans are distracted creatures. You know, I find that when I'm researching information or reading an article online, that after I get done with that article, there are often these catchy links to try to distract me. This stuff is called clickbait. And what it is it's intended to distract you and to take you away to a different website and increase their activity. But these things are hardly beneficial. They're usually just a waste of time. You don't ever learn anything, it's just a distraction. They usually use lists to distract you. Now, we as humans like lists. We like finding out who is the top 10 or who is the best or the worst. And usually, some of the articles read like this. 10 ways to lose belly fat. Maybe 25 celebrities that you didn't know committed a crime. Things like this are meant to distract us and to take us off of what we're supposed to be doing. But today here in Hebrews chapter 13, we have a list given to us in the Bible. Here in this text, we have 6 ways to lead a godly life. And it's for your service in the world, but also it's through your ever-present and unchanging God. We pray that the Holy Spirit will bless our study. The first part of these 6 steps is in the first verse, let brotherly love continue. Now, in the Greek, there are many ways to express the idea of love. And I don't know about you, but when I think of brotherly love, I usually think of Philadelphia, which is said to be called the city of brotherly love. Well, it's called that because the word Philadelphia is the Greek word for brotherly love. And as that word is found here in our text. What is this brotherly love that Hebrews is trying to tell us to continue in? Well, is it the love that we're supposed to have for all people? General love? Is it the love that maybe we're supposed to have specifically for our brothers and our sisters? Well, it's neither of those things, but it is a love of your brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a love that you share between each other. Continuing that love is what Hebrews is saying here. That is the first step. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. So, this is step 1 of the 6 ways you can lead a godly life. Step 2. Verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Step 2 is, don't forget to be hospitable. Now, there's a saying that says, it's nice to be nice. And what that saying means is, being nice is its own reward. It feels nice to be nice, and that's a nice saying. But I find that it's rather hard to be nice to people that I don't know, as opposed to it's really easy for me to be nice to people I do know, like my family or my loved ones or my dear friends. It's easy to be nice to those people, but it's a lot harder to be nice to complete strangers, people you don't know. Now, I was a complete stranger when I came here vicaring, and everyone here has been really nice and very supportive and encouraging, and I really appreciate that. That is this step in action. Abraham and Lot were nice to strangers that they met. They gave them food and shelter, and because of it, they entertained angels. Now what this is saying is you don't know who these strangers are. You could be entertaining an angel. So that's something to keep in mind. Step number 3. Remember the mistreated. Read verse 3. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. So we're supposed to remember prisoners. But when this was written, it was talking about those who were persecuted. And oftentimes, Christians were locked up and put in prison just for their own beliefs. Now, thankfully, we don't experience that right now in our time. It could happen, but we don't have to remember that right now. But we can also remember those who are mistreated in other ways. Remember those who are under persecution and have a hard life and hard circumstances in their Christian lives. You can remember them by praying for them. And why should we? Well, because we could be in the same situation that they are in right now. We're in the flesh just like they're in the flesh, and we thank God that we're not persecuted, but if we are, we should remember those people. Step number 4, honor marriage. This kind of ties in with the first step. There are people who are in jail who honor marriage. Many times people won't give out, there's a person who won't give out licenses for gay marriage, and because of that, she is persecuted and put in jail. This is honoring marriage, though. This is step number 4. Remember your marriage vows. Pray for those who are married. Verse 4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. So remember those who are married. If you're married, remember your wedding vows and your spouse. Pray for those who aren't yet married. Pray for them to have endurance and to live that godly lifestyle. Train your children in the way they should go in their relationships, and then encourage them in that Christian faith. Remember and honor marriage. Step number 5, keep away from greed. Verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Now this may be a tough one to follow, to stay away from greed completely. In our society, it's rather hard to do this since our whole economic system is based on making more and more money and working harder and harder. Now, the Lord gives us everything. We know this from the Bible. And what we are supposed to be is content. Use what God has given to you to honor Him and support your family. Use what God gave you to don't ask for more and more, but rather be content. This can be a tough thing to do, but we know from 1 Timothy that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. So don't embrace the gathering of more and more money, but rather use those resources to God's will. Step number 6, imitate your spiritual leaders. Verse 7, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. This can also be a hard step to follow. Human beings are sinful and we all make mistakes, and yet we're supposed to follow spiritual leaders' examples. Well, you don't follow their sinful mistakes, but you want to imitate people who have come before you, who have taught you the Word of God, and imitate that faith that they showed. And if you can't think of anybody that you can look up to for that, you can always think of Jesus Christ. He is the spiritual leader that we should follow and imitate in every everyday life. And this can be a hard thing to do too. So those are the 6 steps to lead a godly life. But I just can't help but notice that when I go through these steps, I just see I don't do any of these things. I don't follow them like I should. You know those clickbait websites, they're a bunch of lists, but they don't really mean anything. But right here in Hebrews, the Lord is telling us to do these things. And yet, I just can't do it. I fail over and over again. Let's go through this list again. Brotherly love, Well, how often don't we show that brotherly love to our fellow Christians? Be hospitable to strangers and foreigners? Well, how many times do we stay away from them just because we don't want to? Remember the mistreated? How often are we just wrapped up in our selfish lives that we forget to pray about other people? Honor marriage? How often do we not speak up for the sanctity of marriage and someone tells you that they're living together with someone and we don't say anything? We say, we just go on our way. Greed? How often are we just so involved with money? Imitate leaders? How often do we even fail to remember our leaders? We can't do these things and we just fail. But this is just not a list of a godly life that you can lead in this world, but rather this is six ways that you can lead a godly life through your ever-present and unchanging Lord and Savior. Read verse 5. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We have comforting reminders in the end of this verse of some of the attributes of God. Now, an attribute of God is something that defines him, something that is a characteristic that God has. And one of these characteristics is that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He said in the Great Commission, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God assures us that he will never leave us or forsake us. How comforting this is to know that God's always with us. He's never going to abandon us. Even when we come to the hardest thing in our lives that we have to do, God is right there with us. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. This is said here in verse 5 that he himself has said, and it is spoken, but it doesn't just apply to that one time he said it. But it continues to apply to our lives today. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He's always going to be there for our comfort. And now we have verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What this is called is the immutability of God. Now, immutability means is based off that word mutation, which means to change. And God is immutable. He never changes. Revelations 1:8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Our God is eternal. He's been around the block, you can say. If you ever think that your mind is failing you and you just can't remember what you did the other day, you can always use this attribute of God to comfort you. Someone asks you, oh, what did you do yesterday? If you can't remember, you say, I don't recall, but I know that Jesus was gracious to me that day. What did you do a week ago? Well, I can't remember, but I know that Jesus loved me. What did you do a year ago? I don't recall that, but Jesus was there for me. He is never changing. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't go back on his promises. But he is never changing. He is immutable. You know, Albert Einstein once said, the past is dead, the future is uncertain, present is all you have. That might be a nice little catchy phrase to motivate people, but it's really wrong, isn't it? The past is dead? Well, we can't go into the past, but our past is very much a part of our living future, that Jesus died those many, many years ago and once and for all took care of all of your sins. The future is uncertain. Well, it may be uncertain to us, but we know that there is a plan and that our God knows everything about our lives that is coming up. He's not going to leave us. He'll be there in the future. Present is all you have. He's saying that all we can do is improve our lives each and every day. But we don't rely on that. God will be with us. He is here with us, and he is never going to change. Six steps. Well, these six steps are already done for us, and we do them because of who and what Jesus Christ is and who and what Jesus Christ has already done. We humans, we're flawed, we're distracted, we're unable to live godly lives on our own. But what a comfort this text is here for us today. We're not alone. We're not going to have to do things by ourselves and on our own account to get into heaven. But rather, this text is a list that's not just talking about a better life or some virtues we need to strive for. This list is a reminder and a great comfort to us of God's gospel promise. Jesus has done all these things for us, and so because he did all these things for us, we too have done them. What a comfort, what a blessing that God will never leave us and that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In his eternal name we pray. Amen.